Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Erin Carlson, and I'm going to share a little bit about those chapters from Exodus. So we're going to go through 2 through 5. And I always thought it'd be super cool if I came up with my own word and then it caught on. So this is my word for this morning. So this is how I say it. I say it gapahui. So you get every sound in there, but this will be helpful for a message this morning. So write this down, and then hopefully you can reflect back on it and maybe figure out what it means by the end of our message this morning. But this is going to catch on. It's going to be like WWJD. I just know it. So really embrace it, ladies. Okay, when I was growing up, my mom would read a book. She would read the first few chapters of the book. Then she'd read the ending and then go back to the beginning. And it was super bizarre to me. Like, why are you doing that? Doesn't it like spoil it? And she said it was because that way she didn't get engrossed in it. Like it didn't consume her. She could put the book down, come back to it later because she knew what was going to happen. And I'm wondering if sometimes we read the book of Exodus like that. Like we know what happens, so we don't actually put our focus and attention on what's happening in these chapters, in this moment in time, because we know the end of the story. So I want us to consider that as we look at these scriptures, is thinking about it just as this little piece. We know the ending, but let's pretend, let's dig in, let's get engrossed in this like we don't know the rest of the story. So what we are starting with here is in the beginning. We're going to flip back to Genesis, just like my mom reading those first chapters of the book to set it up. We're getting set up with that God made a promise to Abraham. So we read that in Genesis, and that's what we're seeing being fulfilled here at the beginning of Exodus. So the promise to Abraham was three parts, that they would have a promised land, that the people would be God's people, he would be their God, and that the descendants would be numerous. So that's what we have as three parts of the promise. And I think if we just look at that, we could be in awe of God's promises and just spend some time thinking about what that means to us if God keeps his promises. And if you're studying Joshua with us on the weekend, we know that God kept his promise. So they get the promised land. Spoiler alert. Sorry if you didn't know that. But they win and they get out of Egypt. And that is what we're going to study in Exodus. But if we studied these details a little bit more and we really thought about the promises of God, how would our life be different? If we really believed the promises that God said are true for each of us, what would be different in our lives? Because it doesn't matter what we think or believe or feel about the promise, it's true. It's part of God's character. It's who he is. It's his nature. It's his identity. The depth of God's love and the range of the power and the strength of his commitment in fulfilling his promises is praiseworthy. And I think if we just meditated on that for a little bit, our lives would be transformed. There's nothing that God won't do to rescue us. In the midst of real life, when things are not easy, when relationships are strained and temptations are real, when responsibilities are hard, we have to consider the gospel. God sent his only son to be our lifeline, to save and restore anyone who believes in him. Exodus mirrors, foreshadows, and details the gospel more closely than any other book in the Bible. So let's try and remember that God keeps his promises. There's nothing that God promises that won't be true or come true, and those are facts. I think sometimes we put our feelings into this situation, and if we don't feel like it's true, it's not true, and that's not the case. God's promises are real. I found this book, and you guys know I love kids' books, and I think that this is a great option to read the promises of God. So it highlights them in each chapter and then shows you in Scripture where God's promise is met. But even if you don't have kids, reading kids' books are a great way to get Scripture. Read kids' storybook Bibles. That's awesome. Read promises of God, things like this, to help you get the truth of Scripture into your heart so that you really believe it and feel it. So if we know that God's promises are true, therefore he has a plan. So let's all just cement that down. God keeps his promises. That's a fact. Now we have to look at his plan, an organized, thoughtful, systematic plan. He's not a God of chaos or confusion. There isn't anything that's unplanned for God. And I want to highlight this. We're going to get to it in Exodus 25, but it's a great way to see God's plan in detail level here. They are to make an ark of acacia wood, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold. Overlay it both inside and out. Also take a gold molding all around it. Cast four gold rings for it and place them at its 4 feet. Two rings on each side, two on the other, and on it goes. But do you see that level of detail? For building this ark, God is giving you exactly what they needed for measurements. That's the kind of God we worship, a God that has a plan to that level of detail. So let's jump into our story. We're looking at these chapters in Exodus, and let's look at some of the things God planned in the story that we read. So we have first that he saved Moses from death as an infant. He allowed Moses to be raised in the Egyptian culture. He protected and matured Moses in the desert. He called him to lead the Israelites. He supplied support with Aaron, and he provided power through miracles. And that's just in these three chapters. In seeing God's plan revealed, my prayer is that you would also see that God has a plan for you. It's Gapahui. It might not be grand, but it is a plan. So if we know God keeps his promises and he has a plan, let's talk about the people. We see a lot of people in our scripture this week, and I want to see how he is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things and what that might mean for you. So Jochebed was just a mom. She was a Levite and a mother to Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. She was an oppressed woman who lived in fear of Pharaoh. She didn't stand out or impress anyone. She certainly didn't think her son was going to deliver an entire nation out of bondage that was promised hundreds of years beforehand. There's just no way. She was just living her life. She didn't think it would be her son. She's literally living her life, doing her job, caring for her family, providing for their needs, unaware of God's bigger plan. Can you relate? Is it possible that you might be oblivious to God's bigger plan? That you might not be seeing the impact you're having, the people you're affecting, the way you are participating in God's plan? Like, we know the promises, we believe them, but we don't think they're for us. Your sins are forgiven, your eternity is secure, but we actually don't live like that. Because we know the end of the story, we know she was where she needed to be, exactly. She was being used by God in a powerful way. But I bet sometimes, if you're honest, you don't think you're where you're supposed to be. You think somehow God's promise has passed you by or not been revealed to you. You are where you're supposed to be. Assuming you're not living in unconfessed sin, God has you where you are for his plan. Are you putting effort into the life you are living to engage with God and follow after him, to be a part of his plan? Jochebed put in effort. She used her brain. She thought about how to hide Moses. She thought about what materials would make the basket float. She thought about where he would be safe, where he would live the longest by placing him in that place in the river. She thought about how Miriam could look out for him. She used her brain. She did her part. You're going to have to use your brain and live the life that God has given you. Not the life you want, not the life you see others living, not the life you think you deserve, but the life that you've been given right now. You are where you're supposed to be. That's God's plan. Jochebed was exactly where she needed to be used, where she needed to be, because God was going to use her skills, her efforts, her son. You are where you need to be used by God. God is uniquely gifted each of you. He's given you passions and interests and talents and resources and endurance and physical strength. The list goes on, but those are all things Jochebed used to save her son. You can use all of that too, along with the Holy Spirit, to do what God has called you to do. If you can sing, worship, if you can read, study scripture, if you can encourage, support other people, use where you are and what you have been given to honor God's plan. Just like Jochebed's story illustrates, God has a plan and he uses you. Let's look at Moses now and look at the scriptures like we don't know the ending, because we know the success he has, but let's look at it right here in this moment in time. He saw the oppression of his people and he took action and was caught. Moses was fearful and scared for his life. He fled to the desert to avoid that conflict for 40 years. He wasn't waiting for God to call him. He didn't expect the bush to start on fire. He was just a guy living his life. He didn't anticipate being the chosen leader of the people. He was doing his part, but God had an extraordinary plan for his ordinary life. You know those flip-through books where you see the picture move really fast? I'm going to do that with some of the characteristics of Moses, because I think if you're anything like me, you think of him as a spiritual giant, like of this hero of the Old Testament. And when you see some of the things that we pick out of Scripture, I think you'll get a more complete picture of who Moses was. So you might be able to identify some of these characteristics through the story. Just think about, oh, that's where that came from. He was adopted. He was educated. He was well-traveled, prideful, sneaky, violent, vindictive, scared, weak, lonely, helpful, curious, afraid, inquisitive, powerful, insecure, cooperative, respectful, confrontational, and doubtful. Sounds like characteristics of a real winner, right? Like that's who you'd pick as a hero? Not really. Moses did not think he was going to free 3 million people from slavery. There's no way. He was just living his life. Even after God had appeared to him, he had sent Aaron to be his helper. The Israelites had witnessed some of the miracles. He still doubted. This is how chapter 5 ends. Moses says this, "Lord, why have you caused trouble for this people? And why did you ever send me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has caused trouble for this people. And you haven't rescued your people at all." Even in the midst of everything God was doing, Moses doubted. Doubt is not wrong. God can handle your concerns, your questions, your insecurities. He can't tolerate your disobedience. So can anyone relate to Moses? God, why am I here? Why am I walking through this? Where are you when I need you? Gabahui. Those traits I listed of Moses are to show you that we all fall short. Moses was not a born leader. He was not blessed with unwavering faith or extraordinary giftings. He was an ordinary guy that God had an extraordinary plan for. And guess what? You're an ordinary gal that God has an extraordinary plan for. Here's another example. Pharaoh's daughter, she didn't even know the promises of God, yet she played her role in God's plan. She acted out of the kindness of her heart and with compassion to save Moses. I'm pretty sure her dad was not thrilled when she went against his orders. I'm pretty sure the diversity in their family was evident as Moses was growing up. If God can use an unbeliever to accomplish his plan, how much more can he use you? We have to stop doubting our role. We have to stop believing we aren't equipped, that we haven't been called, that we're not enough. We have to accept the fact that Gabahui. What we are reading in Scripture is hindsight. We have the ability to look at the entire picture, to know what happened and read with that knowledge. But Jochebed, Moses, Aaron, and even Pharaoh were just living their lives. They were engaged with their daily activities without a bigger thought of what God was doing. How much of our life is spent like that? Just living life, just taking care of today, not acting like we believe God has a plan and is using us. Let's change that. Let's embrace that we don't actually know the end of the story. Like my mom with that good book, what if we got consumed with living a life in God's plan? What if we became engrossed with following after God? What if we acted like we believed God was using us? You might not get a revelation from the Lord of this grand plan. I did once. I watched a movie, a documentary about the war in Uganda, and I ugly cried through the whole thing, went home and told Eric I was going to Africa. I knew that that's what God's plan was for me, but that was one time. What about the million other times when you just talk to a friend, when you share a truth with your kids, when you make a meal for the shelter? It's not like I felt God's plan in all of that. I was just living out of obedience to who God is. Those everyday activities involved me living a life of obedience and doing my part. So would you consider, just while you're waiting for that big revelation, to just live a basic life of knowing and following Jesus? Live your life. Use your brain. Do your part. It's just Wednesday, but what an amazing Wednesday it would be if you devoted yourself to knowing and following Jesus today. It doesn't have to be grand. It has to be purposeful. Read your Bible. Offer a prayer. Worship. Serve others. Practice gratitude. Meditate. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Listen for God's voice. What we see in these chapters are people using what they have been given to play a role in God's plan. You can be used by God too. God has a plan and he's using you. Jochebed, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, Aaron, all of them, they didn't get a shout out from God or a high five for their role. But what would have happened if they didn't play their part? What if they didn't take action? What happens if you don't take action? If you don't play the part in your life, with your family, in your community, in your sphere of influence, God's promise would still remain. He would have kept it, but it wouldn't be their names we read in Scripture. Don't miss out on the part God is having you play in his great story. So remember his promises stand. Remember he has a plan. He has gifted you. And remember, Gapahui, God has a plan and he's using you. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to study your word, to study your truths, and to let them sink into our heart. Lord, help us to believe them. Help us to know that you have a plan. You are a God of organization and not chaos. When things are crazy in our lives, Lord, we know that you are still there. Help us to believe that. Help us to recognize your presence in our life. Help us to use the gifts you've given us to follow after you with our whole heart. Lord, give these women strength to live the life that you've given them, the place that they are right now, that they might follow after you. They might point others to you. Lord, you have given us so much, and we're so grateful. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, ladies. Have a great week. We'll see you next Wednesday.